about. All I can think about, all I can think about is getting you home.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy moving to stop funding for the mRNA vaccine, which was instrumental in the fight against COVID during the pandemic. ABC Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Tara Narula says a lot of health experts are concerned.
They say, look, mRNA vaccines are safe. They can be produced rapidly. They have saved millions of lives. And we are using them to do research on things like HIV and cancer and RSV and CMV and all kinds of other viruses, even the flu virus. So that this is going to leave us very vulnerable. This is potentially a dangerous decision, according to many health experts.
Texas Republicans still trying to force Texas Democrats to return to the state to vote on new congressional maps that were drawn up after President Trump said he wanted five more GOP seats from Texas in next fall's midterms. Vice President J.D. Vance preparing to host a top administration officials this evening for what's being called a strategy session on how to best deal with the Jeffrey Epstein files. This is ABC News. President Trump is threatening to remove local control over the District of Columbia following the beating of a young man who helped lead the DOGE effort.
A D.C. police report says the incident happened Sunday morning around 3 a.m. Officers said they saw a group of about 10 teens surrounding a vehicle, assaulting a man who said he was protecting his girlfriend. As police approached, the young assailants took off on foot. Two were arrested. The victim was identified as 19-year-old Edward Korestein, who was a top DOGE staffer when the effort was led by Elon Musk. President Trump posted a picture of the bloodied man as he vowed to take federal control of the city if D.C. doesn't, quote, get its act together and quickly.
That's ABC national correspondent Stephen Portnoy in Washington. Hiroshima is today marking 80 years since the U.S. dropped an atomic bomb on the city, killing about 140,000 people. One 94-year-old survivor says he wants to continue sharing his story as long as he can, because soon there will be nobody left to pass on what a sad and painful experience it was. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain. Here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. Civic Media News is brought to you by Minocqua Chevrolet, your hometown Chevy dealer, now 100% locally owned. Built on trust, dependable service, and real community values. Visit them on Highway 51 South or at MinocquaCars.com.
Deer hunters in Wisconsin will notice some changes to the state's deer management units this fall. The deer management units are divided into four zones: the Northern Forest Zone, Central Farmland Zone, Central Forest Zone, and Southern Farmland Zone. Every few years, the DNR reviews Wisconsin's deer management units, and for the 2025 season, changes were made to the Northern Forest Zone, Central Forest Zone, and the counties bordering them. Minor changes were also made to the metropolitan subunits across the state. Hunters need to know their management zone or unit number when purchasing a bonus antlerless authorization or registering their deer harvest. The DNR encourages hunters to check out the 2025 Deer Management Unit map before purchasing a deer hunting license. You can learn more about these changes on their website at dnr.wisconsin.gov. Saturday, August 16th, Presley Pays It Forward Children's Cancer Benefit. This is a motorcycle ride with an 8 a.m. meet at Main Street Cafe in Iron River. Sign up is at 7 a.m. with kickstands up at 9 a.m. You can call 906-284-7275 for pre-signup requests. All vehicles are welcome if you don't own a motorcycle. And all proceeds will be going towards families in need and to donate toys to the children of the MACC clinic. There's going to be food, prizes, and music. Once again, this is taking place Saturday, August 16th, over at Main Street Cafe in Iron River, with sign up at 7 a.m. and kickstands up at 9 a.m. Wisconsin has its first cases of measles this year. Melissa Kay reports.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services and Oconto County Public Health have confirmed 9 cases of measles in the county. One person returned from out-of-state travel and was found to be the common source for the 8 additional cases. This was confirmed based on exposure and symptoms. DHS and Oconto County Public Health are working to identify and notify people who may have also been exposed to the measles virus. The risk to the community does remain low at this time. However, measles is a highly contagious disease that can be spread from person to person through the air. While these cases are in Oconto County, north of Green Bay, this is the first confirmed instance of measles virus cases in the state this year. Unvaccinated individuals have a 90% chance of catching the virus if they come in contact with a contagious person.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Marthaler Chevrolet of Minocqua is now Minocqua Chevrolet, 100% locally owned and proud to serve the Northwoods. With reliable service and hometown values, Minocqua Chevrolet stands out. They offer a full synthetic oil change for an everyday low price of just $49.95. And there's always a great selection of new 2025 Chevrolet models on the lot. Treating customers the way they want to be treated. It's a great place to do business. Visit Minocqua Chevrolet at Highway 51 South or online at MinocquaCars.com.
Quay Walker is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Green Bay, where the Packers finally have their middle linebacker, Quay Walker, back in action. The former first-round pick suffered an ankle injury last December against the Seahawks, but didn't have surgery until May.
I thought it was just a high ankle, so I thought it was just something that just was lingering on at the moment. And then I came back for OTAs and tried to do something. I just knew something wasn't feeling right. I didn't want it to, like, just to linger on throughout the season. So I was like, I think the smart idea, probably going to have surgery during OTAs and get it out of the way.
Baseball. The Brewers beat the Braves again, this time 7-2. Nothing special, just walks, stealing bases, RBIs.
We pecked away and got it done, but they left a lot of guys on base. It's kind of a little bit nerve-wracking. Freddie made some big pitches at some big times. You know, he really did. Credit to him.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The series wrapping up today in Atlanta with Sports on Mike Clemens.
The Outdoor Report is brought to you on WCQM by Lakeside Property Services and Management of Park Falls. Find Lakeside on Facebook.
No matter what the season, let Nick and his professional team from Lakeside Property Services and Management take care of all your landscaping and yard care needs, from mowing to plowing and everything in between, including patio, walkway, and driveway lighting, yard beautification, and maintenance. Trust them to manage your summer homes with complete peace of mind. Just call Nick at 715-661-8114 at Lakeside Property Services in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Nick says landscaping should be the first thing you see and the last thing you worry about.
I'm Rob Gerisline, and this is from the pages of the Outdoor News, brought to you by Onyx Fish and coming at you from the Fleet Farm studio. Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources firefighters are heading to the western United States and Canada to assist with wildfire suppression efforts. More details when we return, but first... You fish the same waters year after year, but what if your next best fishing story is just a few miles away? Onyx Fish builds on 15 years of experience, giving hunters and adventurers a revolutionary angling tool to help you find new water, new access, and new fish. Find the right lake. Know the species, size, and abundance. Get expert local insight. Navigate to the right ramp fast. Then go fish in new lakes like they're your home waters. Don't chase reports. Make your own with Onyx Fish.
The Wisconsin DNR shared last week that fire control program staff have been mobilized across the western United States and Canada to combat increased wildfire activity. Wisconsin is sending personnel and engines to over 65 out-of-state fire assignments. So far in 2025, Wisconsin has sent personnel and engines to more than 65 out-of-state fire assignments. DNR staff have been mobilized to 12 different states and provinces, including 20 individuals supporting the ongoing suppression efforts in Canada. People and equipment are allocated to these fires through mutual aid agreements that federal firefighting agencies have crafted, as well as the Great Lakes Compact. That's comprised of Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, as well as Manitoba and Ontario in Canada. The compact's main goal is to promote resource sharing across the Great Lakes region, including staff, equipment, information, training, and technology. Badger State firefighters are slated to be on assignment for 2 weeks or until fire severity subsides. From the Fleet Farm studio, this has been from the pages of the Outdoor News.
Northwoods weather. Northern Wisconsin weather. Good morning. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some areas of smoke. We'll see mostly cloudy skies otherwise and a high near 79. South winds up to 20 miles per hour at times today. For tonight, scattered showers and storms, a low of 62. Thursday's high near 81. Right now, it's 61 degrees.
98 Q Country.
Hello, I'm Giuseppe. I got something special for you. Ready? Uno, due, tre, quattro. When I was a boy, just about the 8th grade, Mama used to say, don't stay out late with the bad boys. Always shoot the pool, Giuseppe going to flunk a school. Boy, it making me sick, all the thing I gotta do. I can't get no kicks, I always got to follow rules. Boy, it making me sick, just to make the lousy bucks. Got to feel like a fool, and the mama used to say all the time, what's the matter you? Hey, gotta no respect. What do you think you do? Why you look so sad? It's a not so bad, it's a nicer place. Ah, shut up your face. That's my mom, I can remember. Big accordion solo. Ow! Play that thing. Really nice, really nice. Soon come a day, gonna be a big star. Then I make a TV shows and the movies. Get myself a new car, but still I be myself. I don't want to change a thing. Still a dance and a sing. Think about the mama, she used to say, what's the matter you? Hey, God, no respect. What do you think you do? Why you look so sad? It's a not so bad, it's a nicer place. I shut up your face. Mama, she said it all of the time. What's the matter you? Hey, God, no respect. What do you think you do? Why you look so sad? It's a not so bad, it's a nicer place. Shut up your face.
That's my mom.
Hello, everybody. That's out there on the radio and the TV land. Did you know I had the big hit the song in Italy with this? Shut up your face. I sing this song, all of my fans applaud, they clap their hands. That's making me feel so good. You ought to learn this song, it's real simple. See, I sing, what's the matter you? You sing, hey. Then I sing the rest. And then at the end, we can all sing, ah, shut up, you face. Okay, let's try it really bit. Uno, due, tre, quattro. What's the matter, you?
Hey!
Got no respect.
Hey!
What do you think you do?
Hey!
Why you look so sad?
Hey!
It's a not so bad.
Hey!
It's a nicer place.
Ah, shut up, you face.
That's great. We're gonna do the better this time, I bet. Hey! What's the matter, you? So bad,
hey.
It's a nicer place.
Ah, oh, shut up in your face.
Okay, one more time for mama, everybody. What's the matter, you?
Hey,
got no respect.
Hey,
what do you think you do?
Hey,
why you look so sad?
Hey,
it's a not so bad.
Hey,
it's a nicer place.
Ah, oh, shut up in your face.
Another edition of Reality Radio begins, and Reality Radio is a show where you never know what the show is going to be. And well, we had a few guests lined up. They got bump moved around. We'll have Tanya in from Catkins, I think, a little bit later on this hour. So we said, hey, Gray, come on in. Reality is you get to be on the radio. How about
today
that?
Today is the gray area.
Today is the gray area. We want to send warm wishes and healing wishes out to Craig from Bader's. He normally joins us every couple of weeks. He's having some health issues. So, Craig, heal fast. We look forward to having Craig back. In studio,
100%.
Talking Bader Sports Center. Some big news this morning on the sports side. ESPN announcing that they've acquired the NFL Network and the Red Zone.
Yep.
I don't know if that means the Red Zone now will be on ESPN or if it stays on the NFL Network or they just own the NFL Network, I guess. I'm not sure what all that means.
I bet nothing changes that makes things any easier. I would like to believe this means that your Red Zone subscription can now be folded into your ESPN subscription and two become one, but no. Nope, that means less money for them, so they won't do it that way.
Yeah,
multiple transactions means multiple fees, means more dollars.
So NFL Network previously was owned by the NFL, right? They were actually owned by the National Football League.
Good question. I don't know. That's the best answer. I think so, but...
And now ESPN owns at least a majority stake in that. And the second big announcement for you wrestling fans is ESPN has announced a relationship with WWE. They'll be streaming Summer Slam-a-Mania or whatever they do with all that. And appropriately enough, on the day that they announced that, Triple H, the head of the WWE, a long interview on ESPN Sports Center this morning promoting the acquisition, of course.
With Bart Scott in a pink suit. Yeah, no. There's multiple things wrong on the screen right now.
So there's a lot of things moving. There's a lot of money out there in sports, not just the National Football League. Every single sport. You're seeing the NBA, Gray. If you've been paying attention to some of the contracts, Luka Doncic, I believe, was over $60 million a year, I believe is his recent contract. And that there will be some guys making $70-plus million a year very soon. The amount of money that's in professional sports in the United States leagues is absolutely insane.
It's a river of money. That's how I was actually just picturing that phrase, and just I was meditating on that phrase when you were throwing those numbers around, rivers of money.
Yeah.
It just kind of, you got to be numb to it after a while with that much.
Yeah, it's crazy. Not only, and even you look at sports like the National Hockey League, which, you know, you look at the TV ratings for the National Hockey League, they're not that great, but it's international. The international response and participation in sports like the National Hockey League and the NBA have allowed it to bring in revenue from not only the United States and within, but all around the world. The NFL, by the way, and network was owned by, well, maybe still, I'm not sure what the majority claim in that is. So the NFL Network did own that. And I did warn the Packer fans. I have warned the Packer fans that second game of the season is an Amazon Prime game. So you got to have Amazon Prime subscription or a friend, relative, neighbor, maybe the pet sitter. Call your local bar. Call somebody and find a place to watch that game, because it will not be on your regular TV.
That's one thing that your local sports bar can now offer, as it didn't used to be anything but just what sports bars did, but now it's like a service. It's a skill. It's soon we're going to be offering a degree in navigating the process of paying for NFL games on TV. Like, it's going to require training to subscribe. Like, if you're a young person who decides, I want to start watching every football game, all right, man, we got a night course for you to take on how to make that happen, because there's just so many stinking, I almost very much angered the FCC there, because I get really frustrated with the fracturing of the streaming experience. Like, how do we give as much money to as many people as possible and thus take it all from me? Like, I really want to pay people. I love giving my money away. Nothing I love in the world more than giving my money away. And I've got all the evidence you need when it comes to watching football. It's foolish. It's foolish. And it's just, you know, we're too tipsy after the game to organize and do something about this. You know, let's stay sober for one Sunday this NFL season, and from that derive the anger we need to motivate and fix this. Calling local senators and things like that.
See, I won't order the ticket. Years ago, I had the ticket when I had Radio Shack and Phillips as a part of a DirecTV and Dish Network dealership. I got it for free. I got everything for free, but I'll miss a couple of my purple games because there's a conflict with a Packer game or whatever. But I'm not going to do the ticket, because two reasons. Number one, if I buy the ticket, then I kind of feel obligated to be around on a Sunday to use that ticket. I want to buy the NFL ticket for the whatever Red Zone, whatever, whoever owns it now, and then only utilize it like twice for like $400 or whatever it costs. So I'm not buying the NFL ticket. If there's a conflict game, I'll listen to whatever squad I want to on the radio. You can listen to most NFL games. You can listen to on your computer. You can go to the flagship station of that, and you can listen, for instance, like Minnesota Viking games. When I can't watch them on TV, I can go on my computer and listen to the Twin Cities flagship station. I can listen to the radio broadcast of the game, which a lot of hardcore fans will say, I got to watch the game. I can't listen to it. I got to see what's going. Try it once. Just try it. Just shut off the TV once. Listen to the game on the radio. For me, it brings some joy to me.
Oh, yeah. Wayne Larrivee is a part of my life so far. You know, he's been around.
Yeah.
Every fall, Wayne Larrabee's right there. No matter what yard work you're doing that Sunday, you got Wayne Larrabee for a few hours in the afternoon. And I'll admit, I'm a guy who watches TV first if I can. I want to watch the game. I admit I like seeing what I'm taking in.
Right, right.
But question, does the NFL Sunday Ticket even give you every game anymore? Does that still, is that even a thing? Does any one service still offer you the whole experience?
There might be a local blackout with that. I'm not sure if there's still a regional blackout. But yes, pretty much every game. But I don't know if Amazon Prime Game is included in that in the NFL ticket.
Or
a Netflix game. I'm not sure about. I haven't had it in a long time.
Because if you're going to tell me that it offers most games, then make it count. Like, and like, I get why there's not a law about this, but at a certain point, I'm really hoping a couple senators who really love football get elected soon, and they've got a motivation to waste some time on a bill about this, because it's seriously, we are being squeezed, and it's only allowed to happen because the people who make it happen also spend a lot of money on political campaigns. Yes, the NFL is a lobbyer. Check it out. They put a lot of money behind keeping what they've got.
Yeah.
It's like your taxes. You only do your taxes because TurboTax pays to keep it that way. Yes, we actually live in that world. Check it out. It's football too.
I do miss, I will admit, I do miss, there's at least two or three times during the season where I think to myself, man, I wish I had the NFL ticket. When there's good there's like a good 3 o'clock game going on, but it gets bumped by, for whatever reason, the Wausau stations or whatever put some game on, whatever it is, and that game's like a 42-0 game.
Yep.
So here it is at 3:30 on a Sunday afternoon. There's one game on NBC, and it's 42-0 in the third quarter, and you're like, this is it? This is it? And there's a game tonight between like the Chargers and the Browns, and you're like, this is all I got? This is all I got? I should have bought the NFL ticket. There are moments during the season where in my mind I say to myself, should have bought the ticket.
Yeah. It all comes down to just so proud of my generation. We stopped buying DirecTV, but here's 18 streaming services. Hey, we stopped smoking cigarettes too. Hey, here's some really tasty vaporizers. Like, we got, we're the bridge from the last bad thing to the next good thing.
I will tell you that I am surprised that more of the National Football League games are not streamed. I'm the access to games free right now. If you're in the area where you can put up rabbit ears, which is not here, but if you're in a major metropolitan area, you can put rabbit ears on your TV. You can get a lot of football games. CBS, Fox, NBC. You can get a high percentage of the games just with a set of rabbit ears and free TV, which still surprises me. That's going to go away eventually. It's just little increments. All the time, Amazon Prime, Netflix, and they're talking about something else around Christmas time, too, about maybe some Peacock stuff or games sliding over there, because all it takes is one network to say, hey, we'll give you $10 million for that game, and the NFL's like, done, we're changing it. It's off NBC and going on whatever app it may be.
I'm going to ask the question.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the un-American question. I'm going to violate the principles of the nation.
Uh-oh. Hang on.
How big does the pie need to get before it's too big? How many more dollars need to be made from me watching football before we can say, you know what, enough's enough, let's divvy up what exists. These $800 billion that flow through this river every year, we can make do. It can self-contain from here. Because the people who buy that programming are the same people who are buying merch. You know, there's a healthy environment right now. And I'm starting to feel really, really squeezed. I'm hoping that we see a response to that. I hope the leash loosens a little bit, because I'm starting to get disenchanted with what it takes to watch football. And I really don't want anything with my, like, if you can't tell, the game is kind of important to me. I like it. If that relationship sours because of something as foolish as the money in viewership, like, oh, that's killer. That's going to make an old man out of me really fast.
The NFL is like a toothpaste tube, all right? They just, every year, they roll it just a little bit. And if something comes out the end, the next year, they'll roll it just a little bit more. And if something comes out the end, they'll roll it a little bit more. Eventually, that toothpaste tube is going to run out of toothpaste, and then they'll rethink the model and they'll go get another tube of toothpaste. There you go.
I had just taken a sip of fizzy water when, with all of the seriousness of Carl Sagan, you said, the NFL is like a toothpaste tube. And I just, like, these are their stories.
Well, it is, because every year at the owners' meetings, they always talk about, how can we increase revenue?
Yeah.
How can we, every year, that's the discussion. And it went from, it started with the gambling part of it, and now the apps, and now it just keeps, it keeps escalating. And every year they're thinking, and international, that's the way they see big bucks that the NBA is getting in the international audience, and they want to be in Germany, and they want to be in England. They're just, they're doing everything they can. They see that as a big, big economic push over there.
You know, Joel, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just an irritable person.
Well, the good thing is they're still there. I mean, they're still there to hear. We got them free right here on the radio.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
indeed.
I mean, literally free.
And the close observers may notice that Joel mentioned you can often listen to games streaming by radio on the internet, but not here, not through our Civic Media app. That's actually exactly it. I just want to briefly mention that's how the system works. The flagship stations can. There's like one station per team that may be allowed to stream on the internet. So check it out. I think for the Packers, is it still, who's the flagship for the Packers these days?
WTMJ.
It is. Same as the flagship for the Brewers.
I believe it's TMJ.
Or so. Actually, I remember when I was at Lambeau a couple weeks ago, there was talk of that maybe having recently changed. So
I know, yeah. I thought that's why I was doubting myself.
Yeah, so we're Googling that as we speak. But long story short, most teams have one designated station that is allowed to stream on the internet their radio broadcast of the game. And that's not us here up in little old Park Falls. It's going to be a Green Bay station. And it sounds like it's actually a Milwaukee station in this case, WRNW.
Yeah. It's Ken Kazaba's station, the guy we talked to last week who was here for Flamborama doing all the announcing. That's the station he does the Brewer Post game on. So they're now the flagship. You haven't really noticed it in the broadcast much at all.
You should have seen it last flagship. Week, though, when I was at, or a couple weeks ago when I was at Lambeau. The guy who does the post game show with Ken was there. And he spoke, and I didn't know who he was, but it was the voice of fall. It was like, why is the voice of November 5th behind me right now? He's like, oh, it's because it's the Packers post game guy. Like, yeah, oh my goodness, it's incredible to see those people in person.
One thing that about football that I find hard that it's continued the way it is the price increase of going to a game. If you've got a family of 3 or 4 and you want to go to a Packer game, it's a vacation price. I mean, when you take in account the tickets, and if you're going, you don't have to stay in a hotel. I mean, you can always find ways to do it cheaper. A lot of people like to go to the preseason games because that's cheaper. But to go to a regular season game and have seats in Lambeau Field that you pay for and parking, and you're not, you know, you're buying a hot dog and stuff, you're talking $700-800 probably, at least, depending on where the tickets are in the game, which is a lot, and it's unattainable for a lot of people. They're like, can't go, can't afford it,
yeah,
can't do it,
it's,
can't
it's,
do it.
There are barriers that never existed before, and I'm sad to say that happy as I was to be at Lambeau the other day, it was a big change from when I was last there about 10 years ago. A lot of those backyards from which you could see Lambeau aren't there anymore, actually. I didn't realize that some of the residential areas kind of folded a little bit as land has been purchased up. But there are definitely still a lot of houses you could see from the top levels of Lambeau that have a crazy view of the sides of the stadium.
The landscaping around there has changed.
Yeah.
Tailgating in the big lots parking lot doesn't happen anymore. That's all done. It's gone.
And I hadn't seen Titletown. I didn't realize there was kind of a, there's like an industrial park or like a business park kind of area. And there's a venture capital firm two buildings down from Lambeau Field in the shadow of the stadium, which is a partnership between the NFL and Microsoft. And like, I learned a lot about all kinds of business ventures, but I thought, man, I kind of miss when there was Grandma's house right there.
Yeah.
And you could tell that it was totally, because she was out there on the lawn looking at all the cars being parked in her lawn for $50 a pop. Nice move, Grandma.
She was tucking the money in her back pocket.
Oh, God, I bet she retired off that.
Wasn't even making change. Just said, I don't know, I'm actually, you got an exact change. If you can't, I'm keeping it. Just right in the back pocket. Right there.
Yep. If you got 100, you better have two cars to park, baby. It's 50 a pop, whatever you got.
With all that said, with all the criticism of the national, of the game itself and the growth of it and the expense that it costs to be a part of it and to watch it, We're excited about a preseason game this Saturday versus the New York Jets. That's right, baby. Let's go.
Packers. Jets at Packers. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be really ugly. The Packers released their first unofficial depth chart yesterday. I've already spent a long time talking about it today. And I'm not done either. It's still the 8 o'clock hour. That means more on my Trail Mix morning show about the Packers. That's what the hour's for, Joel. That's like there's you've got midnight through 7 a.m. in that hour, and then there's Packer time, and then there's 9 a.m., and then it circles back. There's a brief window from 4 to 5 where we do more of the same. That's just, it's life.
Yes, how fun is the Packers at Pittsburgh game going to be on Sunday, October 20th?
Don't ask me until Saturday, October 19th, because a lot could change.
Yes, or 26th, I'm sorry. Yeah, Sunday, well, October 26th.
Adjust what I said accordingly, please. Yes. Yeah, again, I really can't say. So there's a lot of players throughout history and a lot of really good quarterbacks, especially. Tom Brady did it better than anybody where he went to that second team and had a lot of success with the Buccaneers. But look at Joe Montana. Look at Kurt Warner. Look at Emmett Smith. It's not just quarterbacks. A lot of players who should have retired go play for another year or two, and that last year serves honestly as nothing more than the sign they should have retired the year before. I kind of expect that out of Aaron. He's the second oldest quarterback in the league who might be starter behind Joe Flacco. And of course, Joe Flacco might not be a starter. The biggest news today in the NFL is that Shedeur Sanders is starting a preseason game, as if that's abnormal. Yeah,
he's their fourth QB for Cleveland.
Yeah, he's their fourth quarterback on the depth chart, and he's going to start their first preseason.
Well, everybody got hurt, right? Didn't they pick up a fifth quarterback? I saw the other day.
They picked up Snoop Huntley, but like even then, it's not odd for your last quarterback to start a preseason game because he might only play two series or a quarter or a half. At most, you've got to do some filtering. Yeah, it's kind of weird, but hey, at least it gets the question answered. If I'm Stefanski, I want to get that out of the way. So let's start Shedeur first. And hey, if he kills it, let's just sit the injured guys. But regardless, it's a slow news period right now in the NFL. Packers depth chart was kind of the big thing. I'm thinking we won't know what Aaron Rodgers is until we know. He could still have some in the tank, but he's not playing next season.
Thinking whether it's Aaron Rodgers playing the whole season or half the season or four games of the season, or it's Mason Rudolph doing the same, either one of those, Mike Tomlin still, he's 9-8. That's it.
He won't go worse than 500.
I don't think it matters. You're not going to win 13 games. The Steelers aren't that good, and they're not that bad. They'll be around 8-9 wins with Rodgers or without Rodgers, I think, this year.
Yeah, without Bill Belichick in the league right now, he's down in the NCAA for the moment until his girlfriend tanks his career.
I find it intriguing that the philosophy that teams take going into training camp, and there's some teams that go in like the Steeler mentality where, you know, we're going to hit as much as we can, as much as the collective bargaining agreement will let us have contact, and we're going to go out there, and if you get hurt, well, you weren't ready for the season, and I'd rather have you hurt right now than in week 13, so we're going to go out there and we're going to bang it, we're going to go hard, and then there's other teams that are just like, let's lighten up a little bit. Let's be healthy going into the season. And then those injuries that might have happened in the preseason when you found out if you could handle it or not happen in week 6 or 7 now because you haven't had any contact. And there are two ways that teams approach training camp. It's very distinct between a lot of teams.
That's always been true, but it became a bit of a more stark difference, or at least we started focusing on it more when it started to become part of the rules that you couldn't have padded practices until a certain point in the offseason. That really got the discussion started on whether that's actually safer for players or if we actually see more injuries. What I think we've kind of lost sight of is how long ago that fork in the road took place. And I'd like to highlight the fact that with as much time as has passed since then, we're at a point now where we can start to analyze data pretty reliably. And I strongly, strongly suspect that if you look at those two methods, tackle as often as you can versus tackle as little as you can in practice, you're going to find freakily similar numbers of injuries. I don't think it matters as much as we think it does. I think it does matter, but I feel like, if anything, you're just moving the bottleneck.
But when the injuries happen, right?
Right. You're going to see much of a difference over the total number of soft tissue injuries per team. You know, and are they more severe? Are they at different parts of the body? Do they happen at different points of the year? Yes, no, maybe so. But the total number, likely, I don't think is going to matter much.
I think what the one thing the Packers have an advantage this year, Gray, is Malik Willis has proved that he can play.
Yeah.
I think the Packers have one of the better backup quarterbacks in football right now. He's proven he can do the job, that he can keep it going, right?
Yeah, and honestly, not to just be contrarian, I don't necessarily think it's because Malik is one of the better backups, which he might be, but it's definitely one of the best pairings of a backup and the system. There's a different play sheet when Malik is in. It's a simplified play sheet. It was especially simplified last season when he had to start 9 days after joining the team. They had to give him a pretty short list of plays to operate, and he won 2 games off the back of that. So since then, of course, he's been in the system longer. He'll be able to do more. But honestly, I don't know that that's necessarily better. It just means that defenses have more questions to answer before they can commit the guy to the blitz, for example. So whether Malik is actually better on this team than he was last year, we might be surprised. But certainly, yes, I agree. He's one of the better performers with the Packers than most backups with their team. And I think we can't separate the backup from the system they're in, because backups by their nature often don't have the talent to stand alone. Like, there's no backup out there who can play well in a bad system. There are a few starters out there who certainly can.
Right. Well, one of the main concerns for the Packers this year, I think still a question mark lies right there. Wide receiver.
Yep.
Right? I mean, Matthew Golden is listed as their second a number one a starter anyway, and I mean everything's pointing toward him being pretty good, but he's a rookie. He's a rookie, and it's a question mark. I still think the Packers, they picked up Matthew Golden. Jaden Reed looks like he could be okay. Watson's going to be out for most or a lot of the season, so there's still. I mean, they could be all right later in the season if Watson comes back, but I think Packers still, even with getting Matthew Golden in the draft, they still go into the season with a question mark on the wide receiver category.
Of course, and that actually is something I'll be talking about later on my afternoon show, something I'll be mentioning later this hour on my morning show. Also, I need to do some research because this ESPN depth chart we're looking at right now is different from the team's unofficial depth chart released yesterday. Again, it was the first one they released, and it was an unofficial depth chart. Look at ESPN right now. Check that out. Who is Jordan Love throwing to at WR on your screen? On your screen. That's exactly what ESPN is talking about right this second.
Yeah.
Is who Jordan Love will be throwing to.
And Romeo Doubs, pretty good too.
So we've got a couple players in contract seasons, but the difference with this depth chart, Joel, versus what we're looking at on ESPN's website.
Are they listening to us?
They might be.
Yeah, I think so.
I think they're. Stop copying me!
Yeah.
So the difference between this depth chart on your screen here is that it lists Matthew Golden as one of the starting three receivers, whereas the one that the Packers released as an unofficial yesterday lists Dontavian Wicks as the starter in that position.
Okay.
So it would make sense if Matthew Golden was a starter. He's flashed a lot of talent already. He was a first-round rookie, and Dontavian Wicks is absolutely the receiver he would replace within the starting three, but according to the team's unofficial depth chart, it's Wicks, Dobbs, Reed as the starting three, with Golden and, honestly, Watson sits higher right now, and Mecole Hardman as the second three, with third-rounder Savion Williams in the bottom of the barrel for some reason. It's unofficial. If you want more detail on that, I go way too deep into it on my afternoon show today.
We'll save it for it. Thank you, Gray.
Of course. Thank
you,
Joel.
We're going to talk some catkins with Tanya coming up after our news update.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy moving to stop funding for the mRNA vaccine, which was instrumental in the fight against COVID during the pandemic. ABC Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Tara Narula says a lot of health experts are concerned.
They say, look, mRNA vaccines are safe. They can be produced rapidly. They have saved millions of lives. And we are using them to do research on things like HIV and cancer and RSV and CMV and all kinds of other viruses, even the flu virus, so that this is going to leave us very vulnerable. This is potentially a dangerous decision, according to many health experts.
Texas Republicans still trying to force Texas Democrats to return to the state to vote on new congressional maps that were drawn up after President Trump said he wanted 5 more GOP seats from Texas in next fall's midterms. Vice President J.D. Vance preparing to host a top administration officials this evening for what's being called a strategy session on how to best deal with the Jeffrey Epstein files. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain. Here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know.
The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, or the DATCP, is accepting applications for Buy Local, Buy Wisconsin, or BLBW, grants until noon on Monday, September 15th of this year. The DATCP will award up to $200,000 total in BLBW grant funding. This is a competitive grant program designed to strengthen Wisconsin's agriculture and food industries by helping farms and businesses more efficiently process, market, and distribute locally grown food products. BLBW grants provide consumers with access to more Wisconsin-grown food products, including organic vegetables, hops varieties, hazelnut products, locally grown grain, and other value-added products. Qualified applicants include individuals, groups, or businesses involved in Wisconsin production agriculture, food processing, food distribution, food warehousing, retail food establishments, or agricultural tourism operations. Funded projects will need to report on increased local food sales, creating and retain jobs, and new investments. Projects can receive grant funds for up to 3 years, and requests must be between $5,000 and $50,000. Eligible expenses include compensation for personnel, consultant services, materials, and supplies. Grant recipients must provide a one-to-one match of cash or in-kind support accounting for at least 50% of the total project budget. The DITCP will use a competitive review process to select the most qualified projects. Contracts and project work may begin in December of this year. Grant information and application materials are available at datcp.wi.gov. For more information, you can contact DATCP Grant Specialist Brian Williams at datcp.dadgrants@wisconsin.gov. Thursday, August 21st, it's Books in the Barn. There are two sessions available, one from 9 to 10 a.m. or another one from 10:15 to 11:15 a.m. Activities include story time by the barn, viewing of the milking parlor, sitting in a tractor, plus a free dairy treat and children's book. The suggested age is 10 and under, and an adult must accompany the children throughout the entire program. Pre-registration is required by calling 715-339-6779 extension 6 or email info@unitedpridedairy.com by August 15th. Once again, this is taking place Thursday, August 21st, from either 9 to 10 a.m. or 10:15 to 11:15 a.m. over at United Pride Dairy. School bus safety is August Law of the Month. Melissa Kay has more.
We're getting closer to the start of the school year, and that means more kids walking or biking early in the morning and in the early afternoon. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation reminds drivers the August Law of the Month is school bus safety. They say traffic patterns change when school is in session. You'll see more school buses on the road, and you'll need to be mindful of your surroundings to help keep kids safe. Each year, more than 600 crashes happen in Wisconsin involving school buses. The Wisconsin DOT says these crashes are preventable. Remember the rules. When you see flashing red lights, stop at least 20 feet away in both directions. Flashing amber or yellow lights mean the bus is approaching a pickup point and you should slow down and be ready to stop.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Quay Walker is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Green Bay, where the Packers finally have their middle linebacker, Quay Walker, back in action. The former first-round pick suffered an ankle injury last December against the Seahawks, but didn't have surgery until May.
I thought it was just a high ankle, so I thought it was just something that just was lingering on at the moment. And then I came back for OTAs and tried to do something. I just knew something wasn't feeling right. I didn't want it to, like, just to linger on throughout the season. So I was like, I think the smart idea, probably going to have surgery during OTAs and get it out of the way.
Baseball. The Brewers beat the Braves again, this time 7-2. Nothing special, just walks, stealing bases, RBIs.
We pecked away and got it done, but they left a lot of guys on base. It's kind of a little bit nerve-wracking. Freddie made some big pitches at some big times. You know, he really did. Credit to him.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The series wrapping up today in Atlanta. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We'll have it 6:10 tonight, the Brewers right here. Happy birthday to Lisa Spacek, who is celebrating a birthday today. Lisa, happy birthday to you. We'll put you in for the cake drawing Friday morning, 8:30, courtesy of the bakery department at Super One. Well, enough Packer talk with Gray and I. We're going to talk about our cats and dogs. We've got Tanya in here with our monthly visit with Catkins Animal Rescue Shelter here for Price County. Tanya, good morning.
Good morning, Joel. Thanks for having me on again today.
How's the summer at Catkins going?
This summer is booming at Catkins. As you know, we're always busy out at Catkins, but the summer months tend to be our craziest time.
Yeah.
And right now, I think we have the most animals we've had in quite some time, with 97 animals in our care, 84 cats and 13 dogs, and more on the way.
Wow. Wow. You put the cat in Catkins. That's for sure.
For sure.
So a lot going on out at Catkins. And let's talk a little bit about how folks can help if they want to. What is our biggest need right now at Catkins?
So we're doing really well with our volunteer team. We do have a couple of walking shifts to fill their specific days, mornings and evenings. So we are looking for just a couple of volunteers for that. I would say our largest need is probably our fundraising team.
Okay.
We have a nice little team going. We have one of our team members here today with us, Judy Scoville. But we need more fundraising volunteers because we're amping up our fundraising for our new facility. So
yes.
We would love to get folks from Oliver and Price County to join our team.
Yeah. So how is the, it's ongoing. We'll talk about the golf outing, the fundraising. How is that progressing toward the new building? Where are we at right now?
So it's pretty exciting. We're going to have this all on our website very soon. So keep an eye on our page. Also watch Facebook. I'm going to be doing some live videos to show everybody what's going on. But we're actually going to be putting up the new facility on County Road E, and you're going to be able to see it from the highway.
Oh, really?
So keep an eye out there by our sign, because not too long we're going to start excavating the site.
Really?
So
really?
That's phase one. And we have a lot of fundraising to go, but our goal is to hopefully start the facility, break ground next spring.
Okay. So the facility eventually, when it's all said and done, will be right at that location, the new site, and nothing at the older one then.
Right. So at the older one, we're going to use that building. It's just a very, very small building. We're going to use that as an exercise center for the dogs in the winter, because a lot of times it's too cold for them to get outside to do much. So that's going to kind of solve that issue for us. But the new building is going to be larger. We're going to have 16 dog kennels versus our 10 dog kennels right now. And we're going to have more room for the community, more room for volunteers, more room for animals and adopters.
All right. Very exciting news. That's a big step. Big step.
Yes.
Well, we have a fundraiser coming up a week from Saturday, a golf outing. And Judy Scoville, who's one of the volunteers who helps to with the fundraising, is one of the people putting this together. So we're looking for some golfers, right, Judy?
We are looking for some golfers. We're a few teams short of last year. So anybody, and you don't have to be a really good golfer. It's kind of a fun event. It's nine holes, and I don't know if you're familiar with what a scramble is, but it's four persons, and it's called a hop, skip, and a jump. And the first three holes, you just hit the ball and you play your own ball for the first three holes, and then you take the best score.
Okay.
And then the next three holes are the skip, and it's a scramble, everybody hits the ball.
The best one, you take
and
it?
And you take the best ball.
Okay.
And then you hit from there, and then you take that score. And then the last one is we call Divorce Alley. It's where everybody hits every other shot.
Okay.
So I'll hit, and then the next person hits, and the next person hits.
Okay.
You know, if you miss, you're in trouble. But anyway, it's just fun.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to be a really good golfer, because there's was going to be somebody who will pick up the slack.
Sure. So that'll be the 16th at the Park Falls Country Club.
Yes.
All right.
Starts at 10 o'clock and lunch is provided.
Okay.
After we're done.
All right.
Bowl prizes and fun events.
It's $50 per person.
Okay.
If you don't have a four-man team to sign up, you can sign up as an individual. Just call the country club at 715-762-4396 and just let them know you want to be added to a team, and we'll put you on a team. And everybody loves meeting the new people at this event, and it's a lot of fun. And we also, this year, we have a pie auction, which is new. We haven't done that before. So we're going to have some really delicious pies and cakes up for auction.
Okay.
Also 50-50 raffles. And like Judy said, we're going to have a delicious grilled lunch for you.
All right. So all Park Falls Country Club a week from Saturday, the 16th, $50 a person. Again, you don't need to have a full team. Give Dan Shannon the call out there at the country club, 762-4396 to get signed up for that event. Let's fill that up for our little friends here in the Northwoods. So we're doing pretty good on volunteers. What about the supplies and stuff like that? You had a post on a couple of weeks ago. I think somebody went on, I don't know if it was Amazon or the pet site, and there was like a stack of boxes of cat food, and people love to do that, don't they? They order stuff online and it just shows up, boom. That's kind of cool.
I kind of feel bad for the postal service that has
heavy.
To deliver all of that because there's some really heavy bags. But I have to say, our supporters, these are supporters local and far and wide. These people are amazing. People love animals, and if we didn't have that support, I'm not sure we could ever do what we do, or any shelter for that matter. But when we put a call out for supplies, usually I try not to do it very often, so when we do it, we really are desperate for those supplies. So when we do, the response is always just tremendous, and it literally brings tears to my eyes just to see how amazing people are for us.
Yeah, you can follow Catkins on Facebook.
Yep.
CatkinsAnimalRescue.org is the website. Now, if someone wants to donate monetarily money, what would be the best way to do that?
So you can go to CatkinsAnimalRescue.org, and on our front page, there is a PayPal, a Venmo, and then there's Shelter Love. Those are all ways you can donate with your credit card. But if you don't feel comfortable doing that, and a lot of folks don't, you can mail in a check to our mailing address, which is P.O. Box 28 in Fifield. That is separate from our physical address, so that's kind of confusing for folks. But all of that information is found on our website as well. Or you can stop in the office anytime.
Okay. All right. Do you have set hours for Catkins for people to stop by, or is it best to call if they're interested in a cat or a dog?
So we're open to the public 11 to 3, Wednesday through Saturday every week. Sometimes we do have to do an emergency close if our animal load is too high because we only have a couple of staff members. But we also are open by appointment only on Mondays, and we try to be flexible and be open and available when needed.
All right. So 83 cats we have right now. 84 cats.
84 cats.
So we just added one. No, 84 cats.
Actually, I think there's after today, we'll be at over 100 animals at our facility.
Oh, wow. So if your family is looking to add an animal, especially a cat, and we have dogs too, but especially a cat, check out Catkins. And the website has some photos and a lot of information on there about the animals too, right?
Yeah, and actually we have a volunteer who has started to upload videos on all the bios. So if you are looking for an animal, but you don't have a chance to come in and visit them, you aren't able to get off work, etc., go on our webpage and check out each animal. There's a cute little video for a lot of them right now.
All right. So the golf event coming up on the 16th. If someone's not a golfer, is there anything we can just give a quick poke to in the future coming up for fundraisers?
Yeah, in October at the Phillips Municipal Building, we're going to have our Paws for a Cause walk.
Okay.
And we'll have more details on my next radio visit next month. I'll have all the details for that. And we have a few other things in the works. We're going to really be amping up our fundraising for this new expansion. And so keep an eye out on our webpage and Facebook page for that information.
Yeah,
too.
It's a great way for folks to leave behind a legacy if you're able to. And you're able to make a larger donation, you can contact Tanya. And all the donations, all the little donations come together to make it happen. And then the big donations are huge. It's just to push us right to the finish line, it seems like, right?
Absolutely. Everything counts. And I always tell people, if you're not able to donate, we totally understand. One way you can help support Catkins is to go on our Facebook page and share our posts and share our animals with people far and wide so they have more exposure. So that's a really great way to support us.
And be a foster home, right? That's a great way to do it. You're just providing your time, you're providing your house, and Catkins provides everything else to make it happen, right?
Yeah, and actually I'm glad you brought that up, Joel, because right now we are in need of fosters for pregnant and nursing cats and dogs, and also for puppies and kittens. So if you're within an hour of Catkins and you're interested in fostering, reach out to us. We would love to talk to you about that.
All right, CatkinsAnimalRescue.org. And again, golf outing, Judy, is a week from Saturday. They can call to the country club if they want to get signed up for that, right?
Yes, yes.
All right, and if they're not golfing, they want to come out and make a donation, I'm sure they can come out
and do that,
too.
They can come out, and lunch is going to be, if you want to have lunch, it's $5.
Okay.
And that's always going to be provided.
All right, very good. Tanya, always good to see you every month. Thanks for stopping in.
Thank you so much,
Joel. Yep, Judy, thank you for your work with Catkins. More of Reality Radio on the way here at 98Q.
Hey, it's Lena from Lena's Northern Pines Resort in Butternut, where the food is so good you might forget to go fishing. I'm talking handmade burgers, homemade pizzas, smoked pork bellies so tender they might make you emotional, and chicken with corn fritters that could start a family feud. We're open Tuesday through Sunday at 3:30 with the kitchen cooking late till 8:30 or 9. Cabins are ready, boats are gassed up, and your table's waiting at Lena's Northern Pines.
Shawamigan Home Furnishings has a full showroom with a wide variety of furniture ready to go out the door. Mattresses with two-sided options are available. Over 50 recliners to choose from. Futons, sectionals, sofas, love seats, Amish and up north style furniture, as well as full bedroom and dining sets. Everything is in stock and available without delay. Go to their website, ShawamiganHomeFurnishings.com. Check them out on Facebook, too, for more specials. Shawamigan Home Furnishings, downtown Park Falls and Main Street, Ashland, Wisconsin.
Hey, Wisconsin, are you feeling summer? Then it's time to feel cheesy with delicious fair food. Feel grand with Wisconsin's top exhibitors, from quilting to horse shows. Feel amped with live music at the Bank 5-9 Amphitheater and Main Stage. And if you're feeling gutsy, Spin City is calling your name. It's time to feel good, July 31st to August 10th, only at Wisconsin State Fair. Presented by U.S. Cellular.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get a premium finish with less odor and fumes for your painting project with Rust-Oleum's Low Odor Spray Paint. It provides a long-lasting, durable finish, making it perfect for indoor or outdoor projects. Save big on Rust-Oleum Spray Paints now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Northern Wisconsin weather. Good morning. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some areas of smoke. We'll see mostly cloudy skies otherwise and a high near 79. South winds up to 20 miles per hour at times today. For tonight, scattered showers and storms, a low of 62. Thursday's high near 81.
Currently 63 degrees.
And more of Reality Radio, always talking about local events, local things going on. We'll maybe get to some celebrity birthdays here at some point. But we have Jim Wettermeyer, who is with the Price County Historical Society in that beautiful facility right there in Fifield, to join us to talk about, Historical Society and an event coming up. So, Jim, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. So we have a strawberry shortcake fundraiser coming up, and we'll touch on that in just a second. But let's give people an update. People have been seeing a little bit of work going on in the building there, keeping it updated and stuff, so a lot of work going on this summer, right?
That's right. The old town hall is from originates from 1894, and an old building like that requires constant maintenance.
Right, right.
And so everything. So we've got some foundation work to do. We've got some windows to replace, particularly on the south end of the building, and then tuck pointing the chimneys on, which are rather extensive on that older building.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're working from ground to roof, I guess.
And that facility, for people who don't know, that was relocated there from another spot originally, was that right? Or is that
no,
the original spot?
That's the original spot.
Oh, it is,
spot.
Okay.
That's
gotcha.
The old town hall. What okay. was moved is the school, the Greenfield
next
School.
Next to it, yeah.
That was over on the Hillgart property on Highway E and, what is that, B? I think coming off over the DeMars Bridge.
Yeah.
Is that B? It was at the intersection of B and...
Oh, cool.
And E. And yeah. It was moved over, I believe, in 90s.
Yeah. And now we have the third building added with the archives.
Yes,
in there.
The Koenig Research Building.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we're developing our computer usage and one of the, the building itself is open on an appointment basis for people to come in if they got specific genealogical projects to research, and we can meet with some of the staff. Secondarily, we're computerizing things and trying to digitize at least the photographic portion of our collection, which should increase our accessibility of our material to people. It's kind of interesting trying to digitize our collection with all the yearbooks from Fifield and the ones from Park Falls and from Phillips, it's a lot of material.
Yeah.
And, also some computer expertise would be helpful to us as well.
Yeah.
So if there's any volunteers out there who have some computer expertise, we've got some work for them.
Well, I'm sure the long-term goal is what, to have somebody be able to come in there and be able to easily research some of their family history and maybe some of the family photos, or somebody that went to high school back in 1932 or whatever. I mean, we're making it, because you can have all the material you want, but being able to find what you want is another part, right?
That's correct. I mean, we do have the hard copies of certain of like the yearbooks and some of the old papers, but at some point in time they get so old and so brittle, if you touch them they break. It would be, you know, in theory, the perfect world would have terminals in the two public libraries in Phillips and in Park Falls, and maybe in the schools, that type of thing, and create that type of outreach. But that's in theory at this point in time. Yeah. We're just trying to get set up.
It's nice to have the basis of it started, though. So if someone's looking to research some kind of family history in the area or stuff, they can always set up an appointment through the Koenig facility there to kind of see what they can find, right?
That's correct. The person who's normally doing that is John, and you can make an arrangement, an appointment with him to come in, give him your question in advance, and he can have a little bit of advanced research done for
you. All right. So we're talking about the buildings right there in Fifield, right on Highway 13. You've seen them, the old schoolhouse and such, and so many treasures. It's one of those things, again,